62 Chippewa Falls, W228EP Eau Claire.
And streaming everywhere on the Civic Media app.
This is CBS News on the Hour, presented by Indeed.com.
I'm Jennifer Kuiper. Breaking news, a New York jury has convicted FTX founder Sam Bankman-Fried of fraud charges after a historic cryptocurrency collapse. Bankman-Fried testified during the month-long trial that he did not defraud thousands of investors worldwide. He has been jailed since August when a judge concluded he had tried to influence prospective trial witnesses. In the midst of Israel's war with Hamas, the U.S. House passes a military aid bill for Israel. But CBS's Scott McFarlane reports...
It ended up being a bipartisan vote here at the Capitol approving this $14 billion plus aid package to Israel. But this bill is going nowhere in the Senate, and the White House says the president would veto it. Republicans in the House insisted on cuts to the IRS to pay for the Israeli aid, but the Democrats say cutting the IRS actually makes the deficit worse.
At least 74 Americans were able to leave Gaza into Egypt, even as battle continues in northern Gaza. And rockets are fired into northern Israel from Lebanon. A restaurant in a border town was hit and erupted in flames. For the third day in a row, Israeli airstrikes hit a refugee camp as it targets members of Hamas. CBS's Charlie Daggett in Tel Aviv.
The Israeli Defense Forces say face-to-face fighting is underway between Israeli soldiers and Hamas militants as troops push deeper into densely populated Gaza City. While further south, there is a desperate rush for those trying to escape the war zone.
The spokesman for the National Security Council says Senator Tommy Tuberville's blockade of military promotions is impacting military readiness at the worst possible time.
It's beyond ridiculous.
That's what John Kirby says about Senator Tuberville's holdup on the Senate floor in a protest over the Defense Department's abortion policy. Kirby, who is a retired admiral, says more than 300 officers are affected, and many of them are in senior leadership.
The 5th Fleet Commander, that's the fleet that's in the Gulf region, the deputy 5th Fleet Commander, the Deputy Central Command Commander, the Defense Attaché to Israel.
All as Israel and Hamas are at war. Linda Kenyon, CBS News, the White House.
Mayors from Denver and Chicago take part in meetings at the White House and Capitol Hill to discuss the migrant crisis, which they say is straining their city resources. CBS's Natalie Brand on Capitol Hill.
Chicago Mayor Brandon Johnson says the migrant crisis is costing his city around $40 million a month.
That is not sustainable, right? By the end of this year, we're going to reach well over $300 million alone in just addressing this year's dynamic.
The mayors are asking Congress to approve President Biden's request of $1.4 billion to help cities and states.
This is CBS News.
Make the hiring process work for you. With Indeed's end-to-end hiring solution, you can attract, interview, and hire candidates all from one place. Start at Indeed.com/credits.
You can always continue the conversation on social media. Share your thoughts when you find and follow Civic Media on Facebook, X, and Instagram.
To end race-based consideration in higher education programs, take another step. The Assembly Colleges and Universities Committee took up a bill Thursday. Among other things, it would guarantee admission to Wisconsin State Universities and technical colleges for high school students who graduate in the top 5% of their class. It would also take race out of the equation for financial aid decisions. Governor Evers admits he hasn't visited any state prisons recently, even though 3 inmates have died in 4 months. People in prisons in Waupun, Green Bay, and Stanley have had to stay in their cells around the clock since March due to staffing shortages. Families say they're concerned about their mental and physical health. Evers says his corrections secretary visits the Waupun prison every day. Democrats introduced a slate of bills looking to improve prison conditions on Thursday. I'm Nate Wegehout, Civic Media News.
The Bucks fall to the Raptors. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. The Toronto Raptors were hitting shots from all over the floor on the way to a 113-111 win over the Milwaukee Bucks last night. The Bucks are now 500 with 2 wins and 2 losses. They host the New York Knicks tomorrow night. NFL, Packers players react to the news that defensive back Rasul Douglas was traded at the deadline to Buffalo. Quarterback Jordan Love on trading the veteran for a third-round draft pick.
Yeah, I think everybody in the locker room was pretty surprised by it. It's tough. It hurts. Rasul is a key part of the team, great leader and a great player. So everyone hates to see him leave.
The Packers dealing with a four-game losing streak. They host the Rams on Sunday. General Manager Brian Gutekunst took questions from the media and was asked, how does he think Jordan Love is doing so far at quarterback?
You know, we got 10 games left. He's going to be very important 10 games. And, you know, I think he's done a lot of really good things. Really like the way he's responded to the adversity, how he's led the team. Again, we got to be better as a unit.
That's the Packers' Brian Gutekunst. With sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
The Civic Media Network of radio stations across Wisconsin. It's your hometown radio, refreshed.
I'm meteorologist Mace Michaels. Mostly cloudy tonight, maybe a sprinkle or flurry and a low in the low 30s. Maybe a sprinkle with early clouds, then some sun for tomorrow afternoon and warmer. Highs in the upper 40s. Slight rain chance this weekend, highs in the mid 40s Saturday, near 50 on Sunday with the wind picking up. Currently it's 37.
This is your local Civic Media radio station. Want to hear even more? Anytime? Find all of it at civicmedia.us. On air, 93.5 FM. Online, thetap.com. And on the Civic Media app. This is 93.5 The Tap.
Rangers tackle climate crisis through climate-smart agriculture and cover crops. Nutrient management. Reducing greenhouse gas emissions while improving overall health of the soil and the water.
Did you hear that, farmers and ranchers? Did you hear who's actually helping you out? For much more on all of these stories and the ones we couldn't get to today, check out our website at greennews.bradblog.com. Find, follow, and share us planet-wide on the Facebooks, Mastodons, and sites still known as Twitter at Green News Report.
Are you tired of think tank approved corporate news and commentary? Are you tired of CEOs telling you what to think, who to hate, and who to vote for? Well, welcome to the Rick Smith Show. We don't take orders from some boardroom, and we don't do focus groups or talking points. We don't work for them, and we never will. I'm Rick Smith, and I work for you. Join us daily at thericksmithshow.com and download the podcast and never miss a minute.
It's time for the Rick Smith Show. Now, here is the voice of the working class, Rick Smith.
And welcome, brothers, sisters, working class heroes. This is the Rick Smith Show. Thanks so much for being here today on the big program. Lots to get to, lots to talk about. Sherrod Brown, one of my favorite senators, would someday love to see Sherrod run for president. I think he'd be a great president. Today, he tweeted out, our bill to ensure the government only buys American flags made in America just passed the Senate. American flags, he tweets, should be made by American workers, period. And this is one of those moments where you go, duh. Shouldn't all American flags be made in America by American workers? Look, you know, don't even get me started on the flag code and, you know, people who are dragging them on their cars and wearing them as underwear. I mean, that ship has sailed. But at least shouldn't the American flag be made here, not just for government purchases, but for all purchases? This is one of those things where, you know, I love, you know, people who have the jingoistic t-shirts and they've got the flag and, you know, these colors don't run and, you know, that kind of stuff. Made in Taiwan or China or, you know, wherever. Not here. And it's one of those things where you go, at least that? I mean, maybe? Thoughts? But good. Well, I'm glad it passed the Senate. We'll see how many Republicans vote against it in the House. Remember, the people who love to wrap themselves in the flag, sadly, a lot of them made in China. Now, this is one of those things I love, especially with my MAGA friends, because the Red Hat folks, you know, a lot of their stuff's made in China, which is hysterical because, you know, dear leader, yeah, he likes to talk about China and he likes to talk about how much China. And yet a lot of the stuff that has his name on it, made in China. So, yeah, good on Sherrod Brown. Again, this is one of those things where you go, really? We need to pass this? And there's a question that if it's going to pass the House? Yeah. Scary where we are, isn't it? Scary times. And you would think common sense would prevail, but here we are. I had another one of these weird conversations today. I said something, hey, gas prices are coming down a little bit. Are you giving Biden credit for that? No, Biden's, it's all Biden's fault that gas prices are high. We need, a dollar gas like we used to have under Trump. And I'm going, I don't remember that, but I'm not going to debate your delusion. So I brought up the fact that Shell in the third quarter of this year posted $6.2 billion in profit. And I said, hey, do you think, in a quarter, Shell, pocketing $6.2 billion has anything to do with the rise, with the gas prices being what they are? No. Do you think that, the stock buybacks that they're talking about, over, $3.5 billion that they plan on doing this quarter, do you think that's got anything to do with it? And the answer, no, because that would take some bit of thought, wouldn't it? That would take some bit of curiosity. Let's use that word. And this is where I started coming around to this reality that no matter what happens, there are some who are dug into their camps. For instance, today I was talking about college costs with someone, and they told me that Donald Trump has proposed free college education. And I'm like, really? Now, when I did a little looking into it, it's because, those universities are filling, their kids' minds with communism and socialism and ismisms and, all kinds of, whatever was bleeding out of his mouth. And I kind of remember this guy, didn't he try his hand at Trump University? Didn't something come of that? Like he had to pay like $25 million fines and stuff. Didn't he already give this a go? And the truth is, yes, he did. He gave it a go. And maybe this is where he's learned. And this one's going to be free. He has proposed a free online university. And evidently he's going to tax all of the large private universities' endowments to pay for it. And look, I'm not against the idea of taxing, large universities' endowments, especially the big elite ones. I find it interesting that a Republican's talking about taxing anything. Seems kind of counterintuitive to their worldview. But when it comes to punishing their perceived enemies, they're all in favor of using that tool. And Trump more than others, because if you remember, one of the things Trump did in his tax scheme was to punish blue states that have higher property taxes and cap the amount that you're able to deduct. I think it was like $10,000, and New York got hit badly. New Jersey got hit badly. California got hit badly. And again, using the tax code as a weapon. But in this world, I'm, as a tax and spend liberal, I'm like, okay, yeah, I can see taxing the elites to pay for everyone to have an opportunity to get an education. Not fond of online education because I believe most of it is graft. I believe most of it's a waste of time. And sadly, most of it isn't recognized by anybody who would matter. But I'm not against the idea of going, hey, we do need to invest in education. We do need to give people the tools to make themselves better. And we have to do it in a way that, quite frankly, people don't go broke. Wages haven't kept up. There was an era in this country, 50s, 60s, early 70s, where you could work hard. You could work a minimum wage job and you could work your way through college. You could do it. You could get through and not have a lifetime worth of debt on the other side. That's the interesting part to me. Now, again, it comes back to the jobs, though, for me. And I do find it interesting that the UN today had a report, come out basically saying, hey, DoorDash, hey, Walmart, hey, Amazon. The shameful union busting, the poverty wages, that's harming America. They said, look, these low-wage jobs, all of these this gig work, all this stuff, what it does is it traps workers in poverty, traps them into a cycle of generational poverty, and forces them to rely on government assistance. Again, giving Republicans someone to beat up on. But I do find it interesting that the UN is stepping up and saying, look, hey, richest country in the world, richest country in the history of civilization at its richest moment. Why are you allowing low-road employers to abuse your citizens? Why are you allowing them to cheat them out of wages and tear down working conditions? Why are you allowing that? Now, you know, will this matter? Will these letters matter? Will anything from the UN matter? I don't think so. But it kind of is a wake-up call. The fact that we have a pathetically low minimum wage, the fact that wage theft in this country is rampant, the fact that most working people, especially the working poor, don't have, you know, schedules that they can predict. They can't organize because the power has swung so far to the hands of the employers that, well, it's getting harder and harder. Now, I would say, you know, to this report, the good thing is labor organizing kind of taking an uptick. Labor is in the spotlight. Opportunity to do better. I'm looking forward to, but this is where government action has to play. And as I talked about yesterday on the program, the idea of a 32-hour work week is something that I'm all in favor of. And I've gotten a lot of response from people telling me that I'm crazy. We can't possibly. How could we do such a thing? And, you know, I'm doing some research, actually reading old clips in newspapers of what the wealthy and the business owners said back in the 1850s, 1860s about going away from the sun up to sundown workday. You know, 6 days a week, you know, 12, 14, 16-hour days, and how, you know, going to an eight-hour day would just, you know, just couldn't possibly happen. What would people do with all of that free time? You know, the devil's work in idle hands kind of stuff. And I expect the exact same kind of responses if the 32-hour work week gets some momentum. Because it benefits working people. It benefits working families. And in an economy right now where one income certainly doesn't support a family, two doesn't really support a family. The fact is that you need three, sometimes four jobs to make ends meet. The idea of a 32-hour work week may seem foreign and